Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I just want to share some thoughts from this particular passage. We, as a church and as a ministry, have been thanking the Lord with all humility for His gracious undertaking last week with the verdict that was given in regard to our ministry and the fact that there was no neglect that was found. And my heart has been challenged from the Word of God to the fact that sometimes we may have good intentions and we will talk about principles of the Word of God, truths of the Word of God, but when you're put with your feet to the fire, that's when the reality begins to set in. It moves from fact or facts to actual, do I really believe this? And an instance is given to us in the Word of God in Mark chapter 9. Let me just set the stage, if I can, without reading the entire passage. This is very familiar to most of you. But the disciples were in the middle of a huge multitude of people. They had just been confronted by a father who brings his son who is demon-possessed. And he comes to the disciples and he says, "Can you help me? My son is possessed of a demon." And they said, "Yes, we can." The Lord had empowered them to cast out demons, and so they promptly said, "Yes, we can help." And they began in the name of the Lord to call for the demon to come out of the child. And this was a very stubborn demon, refused to come out at their bidding. And so as a result, the scribes who had seen the multitudes, they came in and started interjecting themselves. That's just like religion, is it not? Oh, we see a fundamentalist failing over here. Let's go over here and rip him up, you know, or make fun of him or whatever. And so they see the disciples have no power to remove this demon. And so they come over there and they start to poke fun. They begin to say, you know, you men, you don't have any power to cast out demons. We told you were a bunch of frauds and fakes and so forth. It's interesting to me, though, that these same scribes did not pull the child aside and said, "We'll do it for you." Isn't that interesting? They were critical of the disciples, saying, "Oh, you have no power," but they had no power either. They offered no help to the father that was grieving over his child who was foaming at the mouth. Can you imagine your little child foaming at the mouth, throwing himself down on the ground, injuring himself all the time, having to live with that every day, every night? And then you take your child to the disciples. They can't help. The scribes can't help. And so the father comes to the Lord Jesus. And he asks the Lord Jesus, "Can you help?" Verse 20, "And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" You've been in that place before? I can honestly say I have. I believe that many of you can say I've been in that place. Lord, if you can just do something, please have compassion on me. Lord, be merciful unto me. Many of us can say we've been in that particular place. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now that one statement, folks, is so easy to read. The words just flow off of our tongue. We just read that verse of Scripture. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." But this father responds in a very humble way. He says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.' And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want to share with you very briefly four failures on the part of the disciples. And I'm not going to be super critical of the disciples because I put myself right in the mix. There were 9 disciples that we're told were in this particular event. Luke tells us, Matthew tells us, there were 9 of them. And they all had tried with all their might in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him. They had had success before, but not now. And so privately they go to the Lord Jesus and they say, Lord, why could we not call forth this demon out of this child? Why were we unsuccessful? There are 4 things that we can call from this passage that indicate 4 failures. First of all, they had failed to realize that there was no hope to dislodge the demon except through a believing appeal to the power of God. They had become dependent upon the fact that they used to say the name of Jesus and things happened. It became commonplace. Their experience in the past became commonplace to now they just expected it to take place without personally being connected to Jesus Christ and dependent upon Him. They just said hocus pocus. Isn't that how we are sometimes? Lord, bless the missionaries on the mission field. Hocus pocus. Lord, help those missionaries to get all their support. And we don't connect ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in intercessory prayer, depending upon Him and His power to be revealed in those missionaries' lives. We rather say, hocus pocus, abracadabra, may everything be all right. That was their failure. They just said the words, but there was no connection to Jesus Christ that His power would be manifested. They were thinking, oh, well, something's wrong with what's going on here. Something must be wrong here with our incantation. Maybe we're not saying the words right. You see how we get sometimes? We think, all right, I'm gonna get something done, and if I just say the right kind of words. My instruction to children and teenagers when praying to God is don't imitate somebody else. Okay? Don't ever imitate somebody else. How they phrase their words. How they say. Because what happens is we'll pick out these phrases that other people use, and what does prayer become to a child? An incantation. Hocus pocus, abracadabra, right? Don't you want children just to cry out to the Lord Jesus in their own way? Well, we want them to pray in a certain way. Listen. God's not impressed with how you phrase the English language. What He's impressed with is if you're going to connect to Him by faith so that His power can be manifested in this situation. I want to tell you something. There have been people that I've known along life's pathway that couldn't put 2 words together in a sentence, but they knew how to get a hold of God. They knew how to get a hold of God. Oh, they didn't have flowery King James language, but they knew how to get a hold of God. Now, what's important? What is important? These disciples said the right words. But Jesus said, you didn't enter into prayer. This only comes out by prayer. Now, what were they doing then? What were they doing? They said the right words, and it didn't happen because in their heart, they were just saying words. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you're just saying words in prayer time, to be heard of people that are around you, and people say, oh, wow, they use flowery language. They must be tremendous believers in Christ. That may not be the case because these people were using all the right words. These 9 disciples, all 9 of them were using the right words, but they had no power. They had no power. They failed. They failed because they did not realize that there was no hope to dislodge this demon from this young child just by saying the right words. Number two, they had failed to maintain their continued sense of dependence upon God's power to cast out demons. They took it for granted. They took it for granted. You ever taken something for granted? You walk in. Chris was telling me about their over in England that the power systems in the apartments and stuff are completely different than here in the States. Every switch, every plug-in, they have little switches that you have to flip on. And even in some of the hotels, they had to put a card in the light switch to make each light work. Take their magnetic card and go over there and put it in there to make the lights turn on. Now that would be disconcerting to me. You just walk in a room, flip the light on, you expect everything to work. You stick your iron into the socket. You expect it so you can iron your shirt, right? You expect it. You take it for what? Granted. When you put the key in the car, you take it for granted that when you put the key in the car and you turn it, it's going to start, right? Or you get on a bicycle and you get back on there and you start pedaling. You just take it for granted that you're going to be able to stop the thing. I've been surprised a few times over the years. How many of you have been surprised? As a child, we were Evel Knievel daredevils in our yard. We had ramps all over our yard. And I was going around the house just as fast as I could. One day we had the ramp set up, and I took that bike up to new heights. And as I was in the air, you know what happened? The front wheel went flying. Now here I am. Everything all of a sudden became slow motion. Anybody ever experienced that? Where it all of a sudden came slow motion? And all I could see was the wheel flying through the air. And I knew what was coming next. Okay? Lawn dart moment. Right in the ground. Those forks stuck. I went flying over the handlebars. It was just tumble, tumble, tumble right into the fence. Okay? Now, that bike did not do what I expected it to do. I took for granted. Hey, I've got this thing going. It stopped last time. So if it stopped last time, I can assume it's going to start this time, right? I just described for you the disciples. Hey, we did this last time. We said, abracadabra, come out. And it came out. It's going to do it again. Yes, sir, we can help you. How many times have we said that and we couldn't honestly help because our dependence became not upon the Lord's power, but we just took for granted that it was just going to happen because we said it. That was failure. Number three, they failed to resort to prayer for God's power to overcome the demon. Now, the emphasis on this phrase is prayer. To get a hold of God. To call upon God. You don't find that they called upon God. They said a phrase. But in their heart, they weren't calling upon God. This is so important. As we instruct our children in prayer, we have to realize that when we are crying out, we are crying out to someone who is real. You know, so many times, and I know as we grow up as children and as teenagers and even as adults, we have this concept that God is out there somewhere past the Milky Way. Sometimes we think that way, don't we? He's in outer space. No, He's not. He's right here. Amen? He's right here. And He's real. Folks, the greatest blessings that you and I possess as believers in Christ is the opportunity to pray. And they missed that. They failed. As Jesus Christ said, He said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. They didn't pray. That's what Jesus said. They did not pray. So what did they do? They said a phrase. They weren't dependent upon the Lord. They forgot to pray. Number four, They failed to exercise faith. Matthew tells us that. Mark and Luke does not record this, but Matthew does. It records these words, O ye of what? What's the next two words? Little faith. O ye of little faith. Now, our Lord says in verse 19 here in Mark 9, He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Matthew says, O ye of little faith. Now, when they attempted to exorcise the demon from the child in the name of Jesus, and the demon refused to yield their faith in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, sagged. It just fell flat. Their loss of faith must be understood in the light of their lack of sympathy with Jesus Christ concerning His teaching about the coming cross. I find this interesting that in the next verse, at the end of this section, verses 30 through 32, what does He instruct the disciples concerning? His impending death on the cross. This caused me to think. Their inability to follow Him in that announcement brought a sense of estrangement between He and them and cut their power to use His name effectively. There must be a connection to Jesus Christ, and the connection is the cross. That's the only way that a lost sinner can be connected to Christ. The way of the cross leads what? How's that hymn go? Leads home. They were estranged from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been talking about now in the previous chapter, He's talking about He was going to die, the temple would be destroyed, and in 3 days it would be rebuilt. Whoosh, right over the top of their heads. By the way, the disciples never got it until Jesus Christ rose from the tomb. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, that's what He was talking about. They were not connected to Jesus Christ. They were estranged from Him because they just could not accept the fact that He was going to die and that He was going to be resurrected again. You see, you and I have power through His death, burial, and resurrection. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. That's where the power rests, in His resurrection. My identification with Jesus Christ in His cross work. And the disciples were estranged from that. They failed. And as a result, they were not able to do what God wanted them to do. They were not able to help that father. G. Campbell Morgan said this about this whole scene, reflecting back upon this scene. Christ found the disputing scribes, a discouraged father, a demon-possessed boy, 9 defeated disciples. Christ silenced the scribes. He comforted the father. He healed the boy, and He instructed the disciples. Jesus Christ made everything right. And I'm here to say tonight that Jesus Christ will make everything right if you'll believe. All things are possible if ye believe on Me. Isn't that wonderful? We fail so often. Hocus pocus, abracadabra. Prayer as an incantation won't get past the ceiling. It is not effective. The Bible says that an effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That's not incantations and hocus pocus and abracadabra, is it? We must be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ through His cross work, through His resurrection, that we might know His power. And I want to tell you something tonight. Every one of us needs the power of God manifested in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in every aspect of our life. We need the power of God. Now, is it real or is it pretended? That's the difference. The disciples failed. O ye of little faith. We need to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. And may we not fail as they did. May we be able to walk with the Lord in a closeness and be able to experience the power that He desires to give to us if we'll believe on His name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious word tonight. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful gift of Your power through Jesus Christ, through the cross, through the resurrection. Your power, resurrection power, is available, but we must believe. And Lord, we cry out with this Father, Lord, help Thou mine unbelief. Lord, we realize that we are indeed weak, but through Jesus Christ we can be made strong. Father, I pray that You'd use Your word to encourage us tonight, that we might be faithful, that we would not rely upon words, but rather rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our strength provider. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.